Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning, I'm Roland Martin. Today on News One Now, Democrat presidential candidates, they get together in Las Vegas for a debate, and Black Lives Matter comes up. But what didn't come up, we'll talk about that with our panel. Also, more cops gone wild in the headlines. We'll show you the disturbing video of police using a stun gun on a mentally ill man just before his death. Also, a college student in D.C. violently attacked by police while taking money out of the ATM machine because he, quote, looked suspicious. Also, we'll chat with Congressman Hakeem Jeffries about restoring voting rights to release prisoners who have served their debt to society. Plus, we're going to bring the laughs out with Wildin' Out Wednesday. Folks, it's time to bring the funk on News One Now on TV One. Well, Republicans, they've had two presidential debates, and now it's the Democrats' turn. Last night, they were in Las Vegas for the first debate. On stage, you had Hillary Clinton, you had Bernie Sanders. Of course, you also had Martin O'Malley, Jim Webb, and Lincoln Chafee. At times, it seemed as if it was really all about Clinton and Sanders, but the reality is all the other candidates got in their shots. Then, of course, you had former Senator Jim Webb, who whined and moaned all night about not having enough time to talk. But one of the big issues, obviously, that we're waiting to hear, that only came up one time in the Republican debate when Scott Walker got a question in the first debate, dealt with the issue of Black Lives Matter. Well, Anderson Cooper did raise that issue to the Democrats. Here is that exchange.
Black Lives Matter. And the reason those words matter is the African-American community knows that on any given day, some innocent person like Sandra Bland can get into a car, and then 3 days later, she's gonna end up dead in jail, or their kids are gonna get shot. We need to combat institutional racism from top to bottom, and we need major, major reforms in a broken criminal justice system in which we have more people in jail than China.
So there's a nation, we have undervalued the lives of black lives, people of color. When I ran for mayor of Baltimore, we were burying over 350 young men every single year, mostly young and poor and black. And I said to our legislature at the time when I appeared in front of them as a mayor, that if we were burying white, young, poor men in these numbers, we would be marching in the streets and there would be a different reaction. Black lives matter, and we have a lot of work to do to reform our criminal justice system and to address race relations in our country.
We've got to do more about the lives of these children. That's why I started off by saying we need to be committed to making it possible for every child to live up to his or her God-given potential. That is really hard to do if you don't have early childhood education, if you don't have schools that are able to meet the needs of the people or good housing. There's a long list. We need a new deal for communities of color.
Senator Webb.
As the president of the United States, every life in this country matters. At the same time, I believe I can say to you, I have had a long history of working with the situation of African Americans. We're talking about criminal justice reform. I risked my political life raising the issue of criminal justice reform. When I ran for the Senate in Virginia in 06, I had Democratic Party political consultants telling me I was committing political suicide. We led that issue in the Congress. We started a national debate on it, and it wasn't until then that the Republican Party started joining in.
Let me say something that may not be great politics, but I think the secretary is right. And that is that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Thank you. Me too.
You know, the middle class, Anderson, and let me say something about the media as well. I go around the country, talk to a whole lot of people. Middle class of this country is collapsing. We have 27 million people living in poverty. We have massive wealth and income inequality. Our trade policies have cost us millions of decent jobs. The American people want to know whether we're going to have a democracy or an oligarchy as a result of Citizens United. Enough of the emails. Let's talk about the real issues facing America.
So there's an issue of American credibility out there. So anytime someone's running to be our leader and a world leader, which the American president is, credibility is an issue out there with the world. And we have repair work to be done. I think we need someone that has the best in ethical standards as our next president. That's how I feel.
Secretary Clinton, do you want to respond?
No.
Governor. Governor O'Malley.
Martin O'Malley did talk about Freddie Gray, who died in police custody in his home state of Maryland.
One of the things that was not reported during that heartbreaking night of unrest in Baltimore was that arrests had actually fallen to a 38-year low in the year prior to Freddie Gray's tragic death. Anderson, when I ran for mayor of Baltimore back in 1999, it was not because our city was doing well. It was because we had allowed ourselves to become the most violent, addicted, and abandoned city in America. And I ran and promised people that together we could turn that around. And we put our city on a path to reduce violent crime, or part one crime, by more than any major city in America over the next 10 years. I did not make our city immune to setbacks.
All right, let's break it down with our panel. Elroy Saylor, a senior advisor to Rand Paul's campaign, Lauren Victoria Burke, Politic365.com, managing editor, and David Swartlick, Washington Post assistant editor. All right, folks, it was one of the things that, thank God, we had a debate that where we didn't even see Donald Trump, nor did we hear Donald Trump, nor hear his name come up. And so I saw lots of people comment that you had far more substance in this debate than you had in either one of the Republican debates. Agree or disagree?
Agree. Because if you start out the debate talking about he said, she said, which is what they did with Donald Trump, there's no substance. And in this debate, we had the ridiculous notion forwarded that these are the questions that voters really want to ask. And then we talked about email more than we talked about Black Lives Matter and criminal justice reform in any detail. It's not enough for these candidates to say generalities on criminal justice reform. You got to talk about, are you for or against mandatory minimums? Hillary Clinton has to answer whether she's for or against what was in the Clinton crime bill. Okay. You got to talk about, are you for or against ban the box? So it's not enough to just say, oh, wow, it's terrible what's going on with justice reform. And then the moderator lets them get away with that. So that kind of is not their fault, but at any rate, it needs to be more specific.
Yeah, to a degree, I think it was more substantive than the last Republican debate. And I also think that it was clear, Roland, that the Democrats, with the possible exception of Webb, seem a little more comfortable talking about issues that are near and dear to African American voters. That being said, though, in my view, when the question comes up and it's Black Lives Matter, it's fine and I think it's good that Democrats talk about issues like health care, like income inequality. But the frontline issue of Black Lives Matter is police using violence against unarmed African Americans and the response of organizers in the Black Lives Matter movement to it, and the responsibility of police officers who are taxpayer-funded public servants not doing their job in a way that treats African Americans as citizens. And I don't think we quite got to that.
No,
I do think that Sanders gave a good answer on Black Lives Matter when he didn't just say Black Lives Matter. He also said Sandra Bland's name. It was clear that it meant something to him that he had been confronted at the Netroots Nation, mm-hmm. and he wanted to make amends for that. That was a good response.
Elroy?
Well, 3 points. You had less candidates, so I'm not so sure that there was more substance. You just had more time to get the more substantive questions. Point number two, I do commend the Democratic Party and the moderators there because they did spend a lot of time talking about issues that are near and dear to the four of us on this panel and to your listeners out there. However, the front runner, she still did not acknowledge the issue of Black Lives Matter. I mean, look, we have a U.S. Census and it categorizes, are you black, are you white, are you Hispanic, da 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 da. So it's okay for the U.S. Census to categorize an individual or group of folks, but it's not okay for candidates to say Black Lives Matter. So again, I do think you had more time for substance.
The problem with saying that is that in her first policy speech on justice reform at Columbia University, she went in depth. She said the name. She said Trayvon Martin. She's addressed this on the trail pretty well. The fact that she didn't get to do it in the debate is because the moderators want to talk about nonsense like emails. I mean, you know, it's not that the candidate's fault that the moderator wants to steer a discussion in a certain area. That's part of the problem here.
Well, I think for me, in terms of as I watched the debate last night, it's no shock to me that you're not going to get those kinds of in-depth questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because frankly, if you don't know jack about those issues,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to come up. The issue that I really had, I mean, you had everybody kept mentioning income inequality, but nobody wanted to actually go beyond that. And that's also, and I wish Anderson or even Dana Bash and other folks who are asking questions would say, all right, let's deal specifically with, okay, housing. When the issue came up, right. How would you differ being a third term for President Barack Obama? They all danced around it. Oh, Hillary Clinton really just weaseled out of that answer. But if there was one area where any Democrat on that stage could say where I'm not going to be a third term for President Barack Obama, is on the issue of housing.
Exactly.
Because I believe this administration has done a failed job when it comes to its housing policies. And for black folks, 53% black wealth lost due to the home foreclosure crisis. That's a major, major issue.
Housing and education was the other one that was missing. But when you only have five people standing there, you would think that you'd be able to get a follow-up on some of these things. You know, everybody says, oh, there's only five people standing. Yeah, there's only five people standing there. So why don't one of the 20 people who asked the question, yeah, that's the other thing, this idea that everybody's got to be in the act. So you got Don Lemon on the side.
First of all, yeah, Don Lemon asking a black question.
Right.
And you had my man from CNN Espanol asking the Latino question.
Right.
So it's like, we know why you there. It's like the white folks can't ask those questions. But go ahead.
You know, on the email issue, though, yeah, I agree. Enough talk about it. But let's remember, we wouldn't be in this situation had she not violated federal government policy.
Do voters care about that?
No, they don't. But I'm just saying that's the only reason we talk about it. It's almost like if you make a mistake.
Are we having these debates so that the media can grill her, which they already did? Chuck Todd just had a long interview with Hillary Clinton on this. Or are we having a debate so that voters can decide on real issues?
I agree 100%. The only point I'm making is, she broke the law or made a mistake. The judges still have to figure it out. But that was federal policy.
How many
you shouldn't have it.
Stop. I don't give a damn right now. Okay, if you want to go to Morning Joe or you want to go to other shows and hear about the emails, knock you out. This is Morning Row, and we're gonna talk about something else. The other thing that jumped out at me: why in the hell is Jim Webb running? I mean, first of all, the most uncomfortable person on stage. The only thing that, you know, when he even got the question about affirmative action, I support affirmative action for blacks, but his whole deal is this whole idea of poor whites getting the shaft in this country. And I'm like, okay, fine, show me the videos, though, of poor whites going to the ATM machine getting taken down by cops for looking suspicious, Jim.
Yeah, no, I think when you talk about Senator Webb, I agree with you, Roland, but I might even add Governor Chafee into that mix, too.
Oh, first of all, when you want to pass
because
you voted for the Patriot Act, well, my daddy just died, I just got appointed. Dog, just say, you know what, in retrospect, I shouldn't have.
Right.
But don't come on, Anderson, my dad died. Yeah. Dude, you need to go sit down.
Look, and it's not to besmirch them or even to suggest that they've done anything wrong. It's just that they are not really part of the conversation. Now, in the case of Senator Webb, right, he resigned from the Senate. I think he could have a stronger case for being in this race if he had stuck it out with his Senate seat instead of leaving after the one term. With Webb, with Chafee, almost with O'Malley, it's really hard to find the sort of reason why they're running for office.
I think last night we saw that really you have one major candidate on the Democratic side. Bernie Sanders is pushing Senator Clinton, but the reality is, even just watching that debate last night, you saw the difference between extreme experience in terms of Secretary Clinton and then sort of a Senator Sanders who has to go beyond one or two issues.
Right. Well, we also saw the difference between that and a vanity campaign, because Webb is up there basically exaggerating his criminal justice record. This idea that because you had a bill on a panel that never passed and Harry Reid completely ignored, that you forwarded discussion on criminal justice when John Conyers and Maxine Waters have been talking about it for 25 years. He's out of his mind on that. Was just a complete lie. Okay. Sanders, anybody who thinks that Sanders can't get elected needs to check themselves. I mean, Sanders has an extremely populist message that I think could catch on very easily.
I got to ask you this question.
He did very well.
I got to ask you this real quick. Shelley, pull up my iPad, please. You had Governor Mike Huckabee who tweeted, "All lives matter. It's time we stop burning cars, shooting cops, and recognize that life is a gift from God." And then he also said, "Racism exists because we have a sin problem in America, not a skin problem." So you had, of course, Governor Huckabee sitting here trolling, if you will, the debate. Seriously, Governor Huckabee, you were irrelevant to the Republican debate. You're trying to be relevant in the Democratic
debate. Add him to the list of former senators and governors who are increasingly becoming irrelevant in the overall political discussion.
Well, I wanted to get back to something you said earlier, though. You said
That's right.
that we're not talking about the real issues. And you talk, look, I've coached Little League football for 6 years. When you have an offense that's not working, when I've had an offense not working, I change my offensive formation.
Right.
And as a black Republican, I continue to push and I continue to work to try to get Republican candidates to talk more about these issues. I am somewhat at a handicap because I don't have 80% of the African-American population voting for Republicans. But on the Democratic side of now, we have 80% of African-American voting population voting for Democrat year after year after year since 1936. We voted consistent
right.
for
yeah.
them. Now we get to another presidential election. We've lost 900,000 jobs in America. How many of those jobs are from African-Americans? We have housing crisis still in America. We have health care disparities. We have educational disparities. We have criminal justice reform disparities
well,
in America.
Bernie Sanders brought up the jobs issue
right,
with black
right.
America. What Republican brought that up at their debate?
Well,
nobody.
No, that's the point.
Yeah,
right now, we're not talking about the Republican
yeah,
debate. Right now, I'm just talking about the Democrat
okay, let's
debate.
Talk about the
I'm
Democrats.
Just talking about
what
the Democrat debate.
What didn't come
debate.
Up last night that was a black
you got
issue?
20, you got, literally, you got 20 seconds.
I heard discussion, but I still have not heard solution.
We haven't even heard
entry.
Right.
Well, let's talk about the
Republicans.
With the exception of a couple of Republicans. Like
but
Senator Rand Paul, Republicans haven't even put a basic ante on the table
folks,
to earn votes
folks,
in black voters.
Folks,
that's
the
problem.
Let's and
just
right
talk
now,
Democrats
I understand that. But no, actually, we're going to talk about a break right now. So I got to go to a break. Hold tight. Coming up, headlines including more black men found dead in jail in Georgia and Mississippi. Also, a college student in D.C. brutally manhandled by cops while at the ATM machine, banking while black. Plus, I talked with Congressman Hakeem Jeffries about the issues in terms of criminal justice reform and voting rights for felons. 16 after the hour, News 1 Now on TV 1.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now. With Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
The ongoing jail death investigation of a 22-year-old Georgia man has been blown wide open following a new video of officers using a stun gun on his testicles while he was restrained. Matthew Ajibade was found dead in an isolated cell in Savannah, Georgia jail in January, handcuffed to a restraint chair with a spit mask over his face. Newly released video comes from the camera on the stun gun used on Ajibade. Warning, the video is extremely graphic and may be hard to watch for some. The words are not audible, but you can hear him scream when the stun gun is triggered close to his genitals. Ajibade was arrested after a bipolar episode on New Year's Day. After police brought him in, he became agitated and an intense physical altercation took place. His death was ruled a homicide in June, and 9 deputies on duty were fired. 2 deputies and a jail nurse were charged with involuntary manslaughter. Despite the ruling, there was still speculation from Ajibade's family and the public about what actually took place in that holding cell, that is, until now. Another black man's at the center of a jail death investigation in Jackson, Mississippi. Police found 29-year-old Jamal Mallard unresponsive in his holding cell on Sunday morning. Police say they chased Mallard by foot Saturday night after he allegedly stole a lawnmower. He got away, but when he returned home, his mother notified the authorities. Mallard was taken to police headquarters, booked, put in a holding cell, and 2 hours later, he was dead. The Jackson police chief says there were no signs of foul play.
Absolutely no signs of trauma to this individual's body that we found. No complaints of pain, nothing to indicate that something was going wrong with his health.
Foul play or not, Mallard's mother is disappointed with how her son's death has been handled by police.
I'm thinking when we're going to go down there that they're going to bring us in a room, that they're going to explain to me what happened to my child. And, you know, at some point I'll be able to see him. Mm-hmm. None of that happened.
An autopsy for Jamal Mallard is still pending. Both independent investigators in the Tamir Rice shooting death by police are being called out for extreme bias. The Cuyahoga County prosecutor hired Denver's senior chief deputy district attorney, Lamar Sims, to give his opinion on the case. In this interview, Sims explains his feelings about reasonable use of force in officer-involved shootings, and without saying any names, makes what can be argued as reference to the Tamir Rice shooting death.
Often we will learn things, facts, after the incident that a reasonable officer didn't know or could not have known at the time. The community may react to facts learned later. For example, if looking around the nation, say you have a 12 or 13-year-old boy with a toy gun. We learn that later. The question is, what did the officer know at the time? What should a reasonable peace officer have known at the time when he or she took the steps that led to the use of physical force or deadly physical force?
The other independent investigator, former FBI agent Kimberly Crawford, has been cited in the past by the U.S. Department of Justice for acting outside the law in an effort to exonerate police in their use of deadly force. A Round Rock, Texas police officer is catching heat after grabbing a high school student by the throat and slamming him to the ground on Monday. 14-year-old Jossie Hughes says he got into a disagreement with another student over a pair of prescription glasses in the school cafeteria. Two Round Rock school resource officers were called in to calm things down when an altercation followed between Hughes and one of the officers. In this cell phone video, the officer is seen addressing Hughes, and the situation escalates. Moments later, Hughes is grabbed by his throat, slammed to the ground. The Round Rock Police Department issued a statement saying, quote, after repeated attempts to calm the non-compliant student and stop him from going after the other student, officers were forced to detain him for his safety and the safety of others. Hughes' father says the officer used excessive force. The incident is currently under review by the police department as well as staff. And lastly, folks, we know BLM hashtag as a sign of support for Black Lives Matter, but now it's also being used for Blue Lives Matter. Louisiana-based Lamar Advertising Company donated more than 300 billboards across the U.S. that are navy blue, featuring a police badge along with the words Blue Lives Matter and the hashtag Thank You Blue. But not all cops are comfortable with the signs.
They matter, but at the same time, we also recognize that we know that every citizen that walks here in Grand Rapids, every life matters, every single one.
I think in some aspects, it's shameful that the brand is being co-opted, but once again, it was never meant to say only Black Lives Matter.
So far, the signs have been spotted in Michigan, Ohio, and Georgia. All right, folks, coming up next, a violent attack from police officers in D.C. sparks a major protest. A brother, banking while black. What do you see this? Also, Congressman Hakeem Jeffries from New York tackles restoring felon voting rights. All of that next on News 1 Now on TV 1.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
Folks, a young black man was violently detained outside a bank in Washington, D.C. on Monday night. Check this out. 18-year-old University of the District of Columbia student Jason Goolsbee was with a friend and police officers who were responding to a call alleging suspicious activity. The police report actually said robbery fear arrived on the scene and aggressively restrained the scholarship student and musician.
Get off him, because he didn't do nothing. He didn't do nothing.
A friend of Goolsbee's posted this on Twitter. Today, we were harassed and assaulted because someone felt uncomfortable around us in a bank. Black Lives Matter activists and members of the community joined together to march in an organized protest for the 18-year-old. Also, if you go to Twitter, you'll see the hashtag Justice for Jason. Goolsbee's former teacher, Erica Totten, is here now as well. Of course, we still have on the panel, Elroy Saylor, Law and Victoria Burke, and David Swerdlick. This is, again, this is banking while black.
It is. It is. And when I got the alert that it was my former student, Jason, it just, you know, I've been doing this for a long time.
And you told him where?
Out in the street at Richard Wright Public Charter School.
Okay.
And he's an amazing student. So to, and interestingly enough, the PTA president at Richard Wright Public Charter School is one of our core organizers with Black Lives Matter DMV. So when I got the alert, I immediately saw and recognized his name and knew that we had to do something.
I mean, but again, this to me is a perfect example, and I tweeted this last night. I'm waiting for Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and Megyn Kelly and these other haters of Black Lives Matter to put that on and then say, okay, police, defend that. I mean, because you come on a scene and the report is robbery fear, not a robbery in progress, but robbery fear, and the brother was going to the ATM machine.
Well, this is ultimately one of the results of gentrification. When you have people coming into black neighborhoods and taking over buildings and homes and displacing people, they ultimately have a fear of the black people who are already there. And so fear is enough to warrant brutalization of our bodies.
Well, see, this is the crap that got John Crawford Jr. killed.
Absolutely.
I mean, a black man in a store in Beaver Creek, Ohio, on the cell phone with an air gun. Some white guy calls the cops. Oh, there's a guy in here waving a gun around and is loaded, right, and is pointing it at people. And they come to the scene armed and loaded, shoot and kill John Crawford Jr. I mean, bottom line is, this guy, he could have potentially been killed as a result of this phone call.
Yeah, and Roland, I think one of the things, obviously all the facts are not in, but when I look at that video, it reminds me of an incident.
No, all the facts are in. The D.C. police have already admitted he was doing nothing wrong. The police report said robbery fear. We have the facts, they are in.
I'm not suggesting in any way that the student did anything wrong.
No. I'm
talking about the police response. The only point I wanted to make, Ron, was simply this. What disturbs me about this video, in addition to what you said and what Erica said, is that right when you see the video that's playing right now, once police respond, they have to respond if called, but once they see that there's not a threat of serious harm, physical harm, the level of force that they're using, I think, is also disturbing.
No, what happened to showing the hell up and ascertaining what's going on? What happened? It's like,
I'm not disagreeing with you.
No, but this was ticking me off. If my six nieces were in a room and I heard some fighting, I'm gonna walk in. The first thing I'm gonna say is, what happened?
You know, Roland, said that.
I'm gonna ask a basic question.
What happened to that is black skin. That's what happened to that.
But you know,
this is broken windows policing. This is over policing. And it would be nice to hear Republicans talk about liberty and freedom when it comes to African Americans being over policed and stop and frisk. We have the stats from New York. Be nice to hear some Republican commentary on this being about liberty and freedom.
Shelley, pull up my iPad, please. This is from the D.C. Police Department. Robbery fear, 2021 hours, the street, black male, 1718, the clothing, exactly what took place. This is what they finally sent out, robbery fear.
And they released him with no charges. Ultimately, it was because white people were scared and they feared this boy standing at an ATM with them.
But
that's
guys,
ultimately
look,
what it is.
It's 1984. This isn't new. In Detroit, Michigan, my buddies and I, we hang out, we go to the bowling. We go bowling one night, we come home. Police officers, the same exact thing to one of my buddies in 1984. I'm sorry, my
What's
junior year.
What's the point
year?
Of that? It's not new.
Go ahead.
Where I'm going, it's not new. This is a public policy issue. And I'm going to take my hat off and commend Black Lives Matter, because you all are pushing the envelope on an issue that's been around for far too long. Let me give you an example. Tea Party Republicans, the Free Caucus Republicans, when those gentlemen in the party get upset, it's 40 plus members, when they get upset, they get rid of the Speaker of the House. They bring in a speaker that they want. Tea Party movement, those are nothing but a bunch of Republicans who were upset with the Republican system. They went out, they created their own caucus, and they brought new Republican leadership. Good, bad, or different about the policy,
and
they brought new leadership.
And
Democratic Party, with African Americans, put up 80% of the vote. Black Lives Matter is stepping up to the plate. I don't know if you guys are calling for new political change or asking for
new
policy.
No, they are.
Yeah.
So if you're asking for new political change, you guys are on the right move.
But
the point over here that I'm trying to make, though, is as a community, we've been standing by for hundreds of years watching this.
Hold on, Elroy. Answer this question. Answer this question for me. Answer this question for me. That video has Senator Rand Paul, has Mike Huckabee, has Donald Trump, has any Republican running for president condemned those actions by the cops? Have you seen Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Megyn Kelly, Rush Limbaugh? Because here's my
problem.
But here's my point.
You know why they don't? Because because black folks are not politically relevant.
No. You cannot tell me. You cannot.
Because right is right, and if their message is freedom and less government oppressing people.
We're the only
Shelley, pull it up. This is Governor Mike Huckabee last night. Racism exists because we have a sin problem in America, not a skin problem.
Evangelical Christians.
But here's the deal. But I want
to
know where these same evangelical Christians who say it is morally wrong for what those cops did. The fact of the matter is, they will not.
I agree, Roland. But here's the point I'm trying to make.
And then you wonder why you don't get black votes.
We have become politically irrelevant. The Hispanic community, there's no race.
Elroy, if a Republican is unwilling, is unable, and refuses to even say anything about that video, then there's a reason why black folks are not going to vote for him. If you can't say something about that video, if you cannot say that those cops are wrong, and then your defense is, hey, not all cops are bad, you're not going to get that.
Let me make a point. Even as a selfish political matter, if, as the Republican Party states, professes, they want a bigger share of the black vote, and they don't have more than 10% of the black vote, it is incumbent on them to earn the black vote. And one way you might begin to earn the black vote is to say something.
Send out a 140 character tweet that the cops in D.C. were wrong for restraining Jason Guzman.
I'll wait.
You know what? I'll give them 24 hours. I'll wait. So tomorrow, I want to see a single candidate say what those cops did was wrong, but they are afraid to call out cops because they know doggone well the Fraternal Order of Police will say something. Erica, final comment.
Oh my gosh. Ultimately, when we say things like black people have lost their political power, it's internalized anti-blackness. You have to be able to understand it. If you're talking about your own people without understanding the context in which we've been enfranchised and how many times we've been fighting to just have simple equality. When you have the mayor of D.C. says that her solution to crime is not talking about the roots of the crime, of what causes it, it's putting 240 plus police officers in black communities. Georgetown is not safer because it has more police, it's more white. And that's ultimately what it is, and it's happening all over the country. So you have to be able to understand that piece.
I understand that 100%.
Republicans, Elroy.
Let me make my point again, though, please. Bro.
Elroy, I ain't a Republican, and I'm not a Democrat. And I voted for Democrats and I voted for Republican. But this is very simple. If Republicans are unwilling and unable to even condemn that, if Republicans are unwilling to even say the cop who pulled Sandra Bland was wrong,
they don't deserve a black vote.
If Republicans are unwilling and unable to say jack about the housing crisis, if they're unwilling and unable to say anything, well, here's the deal, Elroy. It don't matter what Democrats are doing. All I'm saying, no. Listen, on this issue, I'll go after the Democrats, but Republicans, if they're unwilling to say anything, well, then there's no way in the world anybody black will even consider voting in large numbers, and so they got to say something.
I agree 100% with that.
Coming up next, I got Erica. First of all, thanks a bunch. Keep giving them hell.
I will.
Keep giving them hell. Coming up next, Congressman Hakeem Jeffries talks about giving the right to vote back to people who have been in prison. But we already had some of the lads talking about what Republicans don't talk about. But we got our comedians while it's not Wednesday. News 1 Now, TV 1.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number 2, roll out.
The way I roll is, when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now. With Roland Martin.
I recently talked with Congressman Hakeem Jeffries of New York about his bill to give released prisoners who have served their time or who have paid the debt to society the right to vote. And here's our discussion.
Based on the Constitution, we think that at the federal level, we can only change the dynamics as it relates to participating in federal elections.
So we're talking about presidential races?
So we're talking about presidential races, US senatorial
Senate
races.
And congressional races.
That's right.
Okay. But how do you do that, though, when you go into the ballot box, when you go into the booth, all races are all still on one ballot?
That's a good point. In certain states, you've got state and local elections that are on an odd year, so they'd be off cycle, and you wouldn't have that dynamic. But there are certain states where you've got presidential elections in an even year, as well as gubernatorial, state and local races. So those are logistics that would have to be worked out. But the premise is that we should not, as we're moving toward criminal justice reform, and we're going to change the system and work on reducing mandatory minimums, improving opportunities for people to reenter society, that we've got to look at the holistic individual in terms of their participation in their reentry. And part of that is regaining the franchise as it relates to someone's ability to vote, to participate, to have their voices heard.
Well, where did this whole thing even start, denying felons or ex-felons the right to vote?
Well, unfortunately, it's largely concentrated in many of the Deep South states. And I would argue that it's a legacy of slavery and Jim Crow and the consistent effort to disenfranchise individuals. We see it in other contexts in terms of trying to prevent people on the front end from being able to vote with these harsh voter ID laws and efforts that are underway in many of the southern states and other parts of the country. But clearly, it's a systematic effort to deny individuals, most of whom happen to be low-income individuals of color, from the ability to participate in American democracy. There's another problem, Roland, that we're also working through that's very important, and that's the question of states counting incarcerated individuals as residents of the counties in which they are incarcerated.
And that's what's nonsensical to me. So you're counting folks in a congressional district. You're counting them as part of the population that goes to the makeup of a district, but you're saying we're gonna count you, but you can't vote.
Absolutely.
So we're using you for the purpose of the population makeup as you're in prison, but when you get out of prison, you can't vote.
Absolutely. And while you're in prison, we're gonna use you because of the way that prisons are located across this country. For instance, in New York, many of the inmates come from urban inner city communities in New York City or other urban communities in upstate New York, but the prisons are all in rural, largely white communities. And so essentially what happens is that we're going to count you for purposes of increasing our representation to the state legislature or to Congress, and we're going to count you as incarcerated individuals for the purpose of increasing our share of block grants, which are allocated economically based on population, denying you the opportunity to have that type of representation in your home communities where you came from and will ultimately return to in excess of 90%. And then, if you get out, in many instances, we're still not going to let you participate in American democracy. So the system is rigged on both ends.
Now, how do you get around the fact that the U.S. Constitution speaks to this whole issue of folks who participated in rebellion or other crime being denied their rights?
Yeah, I mean, we think that that probably is inapplicable. We have the opportunity to, as congressional representatives, to determine how congressional elections are governed, as well as the presidential race. We've got that capacity clearly within the Constitution. Now, in terms of the state's ability to deny, that's why we think it's an open question as to how far Congress can reach into determining how state and local elections are determined. And so in terms of felony reenfranchisement at the state and local level, that's a 50-state battle. Now, of course, many states like New York, for instance, you can regain the right to vote once your period of confinement or supervision has ended. Other states like Florida, you permanently lose the right to vote. And it's estimated that somewhere between 20% to 25% of otherwise eligible black men in Florida have permanently lost the right to vote.
You have Republicans like Rick Santorum and others who have said this makes no sense. Again, you had Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, who signed the executive order. He was pushed, though, by African Americans there in the legislature to actually do that. But how do you, first of all, you have any Republicans co-sponsors of the bill?
No Republican co-sponsors yet. We're in the process of introducing it, though there have been Republicans who've expressed interest on both sides of the Capitol. I should say Raul Labrador, for instance, who is very pro-criminal justice reform, has entertained the idea of moving in this direction. We'll continue to be in conversation with him. Rand Paul, in fact, has been very aggressive in the notion, and I had a conversation with him a few months ago where he indicated that he thought that we could change felony disenfranchisement at the federal level, state by state battle with respect to state and local elections.
So is he going to sponsor a bill in the Senate?
I think so. But he'll have to speak for himself at this moment. We're proceeding on two different tracks, trying to make it as parallel as possible, but two different tracks in the House and the Senate. But what we want to do is inject this into the conversation with respect to criminal justice reform and reform the totality of the system from beginning to end as it impacts people who've been incarcerated.
Well, I just think it still is utterly ridiculous to me that you have individuals who have served their time, who have done so, paid their debt to society, and yet still are branded even when they leave. And so whether it's this or check or ban the box, asking folks who, you know, have you been convicted, it's still being in prison without shackles.
That's correct.
And that's the difference. Congressman, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Roll on up. Thank you very much.
All right. All right, real quick, folks, Erica Todd, this didn't come up last night in the debate.
No, it didn't. And ultimately, that's one of the other things that we're pushing with Black Lives Matter is that black incarcerated folks' lives matter. So those that serve their time shouldn't be also penalized when they come back into our community. Same thing that's happening with Mayor Bowser is stripping returning citizens of their rights. That's something that we're pushing back in this city now.
Yeah, Roy, Florida Republicans, they want to put inmates in Corrine Brown's district, but they don't want ex-felons to vote.
You know, that's wrong. You know, if somebody's made a mistake and paid their time, when they get out, they should have the right to vote. Senator Cardin and Senator Rand Paul both recognize that. They have two pieces of legislation that's been being introduced.
How many co-sponsors?
You know, I'm not sure the number of co-sponsors, but the difference in the legislation, and here's where the rub is on the legislation, the Republicans are saying not everyone. If you're a violent criminal, meaning that maybe you've done something to a child or a spousal abuse, the Republicans are saying they don't want, it's only nonviolent offenders that should be able to get the right to vote. The Democrats are saying even violent offenders should get the right to vote.
Well, what's the whole,
so they got to work that out.
But what's the whole point of paying debt to society if you're still in prison?
Well, I'm just saying that's the issue. That's
got
to be worked out.
Yeah, I think violent offenders should be able to vote as well. I'm not sure why there's a difference there.
If you're released from prison
and
you're now out in society.
And in Alabama, they've made an art out of this, you know.
Oh, please.
Giving people a felony so they can't vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with everything that's been said. Ultimately, like you said, Roland, this is about getting people to buy back into the system and the process after they've done their time.
Elroy, I bet you $100 ain't no way in hell this is going to be a significant issue in the next Republican debate.
We're going to work on making that happen.
Good. Do that. Do that. Your guy's going to be
there. We're going to work on making
it happen. Okay. If he don't bring it up, I'm going to call you.
It was an hour and 44 minutes until the last debate, and he was the first person to even brought up the word African American.
But I'm going to say it again. The next debate is going to be on Fox Business News.
Yeah.
I better hear your guy talk about black women starting more business than anybody else in America. I better hear him talk about the fact that only African Americans got 1.7% of the small business loans in 2013 compared to 8.2% in last year Bush. If you need some black business facts, let me know. But if Rand Paul don't say jack about black folks in business in the next debate, I'm calling you, and I'm going to go to your damn house.
Hold me responsible.
All right,
hold
I got
me responsible.
You. Eric Costello, appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. Elroy Long and David coming up. Wild Night Wednesday. Well, he's already been Wild Night Wednesday, but the comedians, they up next. News 1 Now, TV 1.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
Birthday shout out time. Actor and comedian Jay Farrell, he turns 28. Usher is 37 years old today. And Stephen A. Smith, you know Stephen A., forget you, Kevin Durant. He turns 48 years old. On this day in history, in 1834, Harry Blair patents a corn planting machine. In 1864, the New Orleans Tribune, published in English and French, becomes the first black daily newspaper. And in 1964, civil rights icon Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. becomes the youngest man ever to win the Nobel Peace Prize. All right, folks, every Wednesday, we got the comedians in the house. Time to have a little fun. We've got Eddie Bryant. Kristen, is it Seville's?
Yes.
All right, gotcha. And Kai Morgan, what's happening?
What's going on, Roland? How are you?
All good. We got that Pee Wee Herman bow tie working down there.
Here we go.
I'm just saying.
But your tie look like Charlie Brown's tie.
No, son. Don't hate because you can't wear stripes. All right, dude.
It's too many stripes.
How you doing? How is it too many stripes? Nice T-shirt you got on. Thanks for dressing the hell up.
Thank you, sir.
Because y'all got history. I'm new. Huh? I don't know. Y'all got history and stuff. I'm new.
That means you're going to get hazed.
Yeah, they're going to break you in.
Yeah.
bring it in. Yeah,
you got to be like Elroy was on that last segment.
Let's go.
What, hot girl? You don't want none of this. Yeah, trust me. You don't want Eddie. You bet.
Yeah, I just back up and let her get her thing.
Why
in,
you got to move? You're supposed to be right here.
Your hair's all out.
Black lives matter, and I'm brown.
You got the tallest hair. You got.
I don't want no trouble. I see you giving the brother the business this morning. I see, man.
I mean, come on. No, like again, you know, we bring the funk. I mean, this is hashtag bring the funk.
Yeah, that was the funk. We were scared.
I was happy. I was like, okay, it's going down. Rolling with me, knocking with me.
You said he was scared.
He was scared.
I ain't even want to say Elroy C, because I said something going on with Elroy C. Yeah,
I wanted it.
It's a problem.
It's real warm in this seat right here. I mean, I had him sweating, Jack.
It was sweating.
Or Elroy's peak was messed up after you did him like that. Look, hair ain't even curl no more.
That's my man. That's my man. But you know, when we talking, if you say something, I'm a jack you.
Good.
We see. I'm not. It was a jacking, carjacking, all kinds of jacking. Y'all jacking. It was there.
I'm not gonna say nothing. I love on the show.
You said you ain't gonna say nothing.
I ain't gonna say nothing.
So you just came on the show just to sit there.
Because I'm cute.
She came for the News 1 Cup.
I brought y'all my best eyebrows though. Do y'all see this? I did. It's eyebrows greatest hits. I did. I brought them out.
Sharon.
I brought them out.
Okay.
Really?
I did. Don't
really?
Do that. You know these are perfection. Don't do that.
Really?
Don't do that. Listen, I equal it out because my hair is natural, so I can draw my eyebrows.
It's okay, so your hair is natural, but your eyebrows not. But you want a real man.
Remember, you brought this on yourself.
It's okay. I'm okay with that.
But you want a real man.
It's all right.
Okay, your fingernails real?
Yeah, they are. Everything else, just my eyebrows.
Okay, all right.
Because I'm a comedian, I don't have eyebrows, and I need expressions. So I got to draw them on.
They got it right. Hell, I got expression. When you say some bull, it's me.
You can't see nothing that I'm experiencing.
See, this is my eyebrow.
I take these off. It's a wrap.
What you mean take them off? You can't take them off.
I'm telling you.
You can only wipe them off.
If I do this, you ain't gonna know what I'm feeling on this side of my face. You ain't gonna know.
Remember, what's that?
What is the rationale for shaving off your eyebrows anyway?
They not shaved off. I didn't get them in the
You want bull with eyebrows?
I didn't get them.
Then we need to see your regular expression.
So what, you skipped the eyebrows line?
Your baby picture.
I got hair now, look.
So your baby picture came without eyebrows.
No, it's all right, it did. That's fine.
No,
I'm still kidding.
Straight up, no eyebrows.
We are not about to do that.
Okay.
Oh, yes, we are.
All right, no, you get this is what you get today.
No, yes, we are.
This is what you get.
So you were born with a defect, no eyebrows?
I got this, though. I got this, and I got an edge.
She's a limited edition.
I got edges.
Huh?
Limited edition.
I got edges, though. God, I'm
calling Farrakhan
now. Can't nobody say that.
Hey, Farrakhan, man, she don't got no eyebrows.
You know what? Don't do that.
Eyebrows matter.
Right. I'm just saying.
They do.
So did you go to the march?
Yes, I was there. Did you go?
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
I was there 20 years. No.
Where were you?
I wasn't in the VIP section where you was.
I'm sorry.
I was in the back where the brothers was going. So what's the OLs do?
Right, and what I keep saying is if you so concerned about the OLs and you ignore the justice, you got a problem.
Yeah.
Did you tell them that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you
got to educate. Don't worry about it, man.
I was FaceTime till my cousin's battery died, so I was there. We was walking.
Okay, so where were you physically?
Mm-mm.
I was on his phone.
Well, where were you physically?
I had to do a show that night.
See, he had to do a show.
That night where?
In Maryland.
You still ain't going to the march.
You couldn't stop by real quick?
The march was right here in D.C. What? The bus wasn't running on Saturday?
You going to call Farrakhan?
What? The bus? Right. Right.
You didn't even.
You got a Farrakhan bow tie on, but you couldn't bring your behind to the march.
Hey, man.
Most people.
What? No, hell no. We ain't done. Hold up.
Wait,
no, we ain't done.
Like the
no,
finally.
We ain't done with him.
This feels like the energy.
Come on, Elroy Jr. How in the hell are you in Maryland in a show that night, and the march started at, the presser was at 7, the speaker's at 10, was over by 3, but you somehow couldn't make it?
That's why I ain't marching no more. These youngins don't know what's up. I ain't marching no
about to be comedians or else.
Yeah.
All right, I got to go to a break. Got to do this one now in a moment. Let me deal with Pee Wee Herman down there.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back, News One Now. We got Eddie Bryant, who was at Justice or Else. We had Christian, who was at Eyebrows or Else. And we got Kyle Morgan. I don't know where in the hell he was at. So, I mean, just so, like, really, what happened? Your ride left early? Woke up late?
What happened was the Uber driver didn't have a booster seat, he didn't have a booster seat, he couldn't drive.
That's trifling. I mean, he in Maryland.
I don't understand.
Ain't like he was in Mississippi.
Maryland is a big
state. Ain't like he was in Atlanta. Where were you in Maryland?
I, I, I don't want to say.
Was right.
No, where were you in Maryland?
Oh, he was close.
I was at the barbershop.
Barbershop? Wait.
Where's the barbershop?
Hold up. Where's the evidence you were at the barbershop?
Roland, we ain't gonna go there.
We can't go there. Your side are not. First of all, Doc, I ain't worried about it. Cause here's the deal. There's no evidence you were at the barbershop. If you were at the barbershop, fire his ass. Cause we cannot tell.
You know you done messed up, right?
That's why I was just looking.
You know you done messed up, right?
You know you done. Right.
I got the haircut.
Right. It's about to be menace to society up in here, right? You know you done.
You know you done messed up.
Right. You know you done.
We supposed to be. I mean. We supposed to be there. We needed to be there.
I agree with you. I agree with
you. You were there?
On Facebook. It was some people that weren't there for what they were supposed to be there for. It was mad selfies, mad periscoping, like, I'm here. Like, no, you don't do that.
Yeah, social media.
Most people didn't even know what was going on.
Okay, I'm sorry. You were not there, but you criticized the people who were actually there, who were periscoping and Facebooking. And the only reason you even knew about it, because they were periscoping and Facebooking. Right, okay.
I appreciate them.
Right, I'm sorry. So what, the eyebrow line was long that day?
Listen,
you couldn't make it?
When they not right, I can't leave the house.
They had a security eyebrow check. She couldn't go.
My mood depends on how great the art is.
Come on, man.
Listen.
I don't believe in the whole
that's
45,
important, though. You
45
gotta,
million.
That's important.
I mean, this,
that is important, though. You can't.
Did you go to the black college?
You gonna date a chick with no eyebrows?
No.
I didn't go. I went to hair school. Does that count?
I went to a black homecoming. That should count.
Oh,
my goodness. See, that's why we're not marching no more, bro.
What?
That's why your scholarship point got to get better. Man.
I was there.
It got to get better.
I didn't even
finish.
That's a bad one.
I supported school that day.
Next week in Wild Night Wins, I'm going to have 3 white comedians.
That's fine.
I'm 2 white comedians in Eddie, 2 white comedians who joined Black Lives Matter. Because these
up.
2 Negroes over here.
Why Eddie? Because he went to the first
watch. He didn't even dress up.
I went to both watches. I'm responsible.
Y'all, next tomorrow on the show, we got Joy Ann Reed talking about her new book, Fractured. Follow me on Twitter, Roland S. Martin. I got to go.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.